This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Good afternoon. I'm Liz St. John. Here's what's happening. The death of a kayaker whose body was found in Bodega Bay yesterday is highlighting how dangerous crab fishing can be. The man's kayak was equipped for crabbing, although it's still unclear why he died. KCBS's Megan Goldsby reports crabbing can be a dangerous sport or job.
Even for the pros, there are a lot of things that can threaten your safety when out on the water, says commercial fisherman Captain Dick Ogg, who spoke to KCBS from aboard his boat just past Tomales Point, where he was dropping crab pots.
To make sure that my crew comes home and that I get home safely every single time I go out, and my doggies that are with me right now, I want to make sure that everything in this boat is top notch, that I have backup for everything, and that I'm prepared for situations that, you know, we can't ever foresee.
When the season first opens, he says there is a rush to work around the clock while the crab is plentiful.
Quite honestly, the reason it's so dangerous, I think, is because we do operate extremely fast. They're big pots and not massive or anything, 100 pounds, 120 pounds or so. But, you know, we're rolling around, we're moving this stuff up. Actually, to be honest with you, we bring up a crab pot 50 fathoms, which is 300 feet, in 15 seconds.
So he says there's a lot of room for dangerous mistakes, especially when people on board are fatigued. Authorities are looking at whether the kayaker who died may have had a medical emergency. Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
San Jose police are asking for the public's help in locating an 84-year-old man missing since Friday evening. Yevgeny Zebsky is 5'7", 150 pounds, gray hair and brown eyes. He was wearing a gray shirt, gray pants, and brown slippers when last seen about 6 p.m. last night near Vista Park Drive and West Capitol Expressway in San Jose. Anyone with information of his whereabouts is asked to call 911. Well, this year will mean some big changes coming to San Francisco International Airport. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports a major airline is expanding and a runway will be temporarily shut down.
We're talking about runway 1 right, which is primarily used for takeoffs.
And we're going to be closing it on March 30th, and we're going to have it closed for about 6 months.
SFO spokesperson Doug Yackel says that lengthy closure is to grind down and repave the runway, something that has to happen every 8 to 12 years.
Think about the weight of an aircraft that's rolling down it on either takeoff or landing. It's much like a freeway. Eventually, it needs repaving.
Of course, all this will mean delays for air travelers, but Yackel says only about 10% of flights will be impacted.
But we think the delays will be less than 30 minutes in duration, so a lot less impact than we've seen in some of these other runway closures.
The runway is expected to reopen in October. Also this year, United Airlines has announced it will expand and upgrade its United Club Lounge here at SFO.
The United States is moving to change the schedule for childhood vaccines. KCBS's Kathy Whitman reports on what this means for California.
The information has been confusing for parents with a shift in recommendations coming from the federal government. But as UCSF infectious disease specialist Dr. Peter Chin Hong says, the message is clear from the West Coast Health Alliance, which includes Oregon, Washington, and California.
It completely is a good idea to give vaccinations at birth for hepatitis B and the others that have been established.
The U.S. is trying to align itself with the recommendations from countries like Denmark. Chin Hong says it's hard to make a comparison.
Because we vaccinate based on what's circulating.
And our population is very different from that of Denmark. we're much more diverse. He says the CDC will continue to recommend shots for things like diphtheria, polio, measles, and the five-course vaccines for whooping cough.
And that's because it's very hard to get immunity against whooping cough, and that's the reason why we have as many shots as we do.
Bottom line, California's vaccine schedule remained the same. Kathy Whitman, KCBS.
The San Francisco Ballet is facing a growing backlash over a planned trip to the nation's capital. KCBS's David Welch reports some longtime fans say the show must not go on.
Daniel Dottori has been a ballet regular for 50 years. He says the company's upcoming trip to D.C. is a slap in the face to this city's history and a betrayal of the people who give the ballet its soul.
Having trans friends and having gay friends, which we know makes up a big part of the ballet world, especially the male ballet world, I would think the dancers would stand up and say, we're not going to go and perform.
Dottori says he's reaching out to some of the company's biggest donors, but their response is always the same. It's complicated. So he's launching a petition on change.org, using grassroots tactics to compel the ballet to change its plans.
I've been pretty amazed at the response.
With nearly 900 signatures and counting, Dottori isn't asking the dancers to cancel their trip. He says they should find a different stage, one that doesn't feel like a compromise of values.
I would love if they could just find another venue and do Mere Mortals in another space in Washington.
The SF Ballet didn't return a request for comment. In San Francisco, David Welch, KCBS.
Federal agents arrested two protesters yesterday outside of San Francisco's immigration court. They were among about 30 demonstrators who staged a demonstration condemning the killing of Renee Nicole Good by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. Mission Local reports the protesters tried to enter the courthouse but were pushed back by private security guards and on-site federal agents. No word on why the two protesters were arrested. One was released around 6:30 last night. The other, an 18-year-old woman, was transferred to San Francisco County Jail. A well-known East San Jose bakery became the site of an assault in late December. Now, as KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports, San Jose police are hoping the public can help them find the man responsible.
It's not just the East Side, it's a San Jose institution.
Sonia is a regular Peter's Bakery customer. That's where a man erupted into a fit of rage, damaging property and attacking a female customer.
It was heartbreaking when I saw the videos of the incident.
Lena Jimenez grew up in this neighborhood on the East Side.
All of my friends and family always get their birthday cakes from here. It's super just. Yeah, I just feel like it's a big part of the community.
The man's image was captured on video. You can see that at sjpd.org. Stacy Shee is with San Jose Police.
This adult male suspect is believed to frequent establishments in East San Jose. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. So in addition to the photo we provided, as well as the detailed description, we hope that information is helpful, knowing that he does frequent establishments in East San Jose.
At Peter's Bakery on the east side of San Jose, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
Oakland's preparing to say a final formal goodbye to a man who was so much more than a coach. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports a celebration of life to honor the legendary Laney College athletic director John Beam is happening today.
The celebration of life for Coach John Beam will be held at the Kaiser Center just across from Laney College.
I believe the Kaiser Center seats 1,400 people, and it's already sold out.
Mark Johnson is spokesperson for the Peralta Community College District. Last November, Beam, the star of the Netflix series Last Chance U, was shot and killed on campus, allegedly by a former student.
It's such a tragic situation, but Oakland, it's showing its spirit of community with these celebrations of John Beam.
The family celebration is scheduled for Saturday at 2 p.m. Meanwhile, the suspect, Cedric Irving, reportedly told investigators that he bought a gun in October specifically to kill Beam. However, a motive remains unclear. The 27-year-old will be back in court on January 14th. At Laney College in Oakland, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
There's been a drop in flu activity, but concerns remain that the flu season may not have peaked. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Meghani reports.
U.S. flu infections showed signs of a slight drop last week, but health officials say it's not clear this severe flu season has peaked. Last flu season was one of the harshest in recent history. This one may be worse.
On a national level, we really are seeing unprecedented numbers of cases as well as hospitalizations.
Dr. Andrew Wallach in New York earlier this week. Today, government data shows flu activity last week fell, but flu deaths and hospitalizations rose. Experts predict there is more suffering to come.
Getting flu shot today. Going to be slightly sore for a day or two.
Wallach's message to anyone who has yet to get a flu shot.
It's not too late.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With the arrival of the new year, residents in parts of Berkeley are now required to have the ground within 5 feet of their home clear of anything that can catch on fire. That includes shrubs, garbage, and planter boxes. Residents living in the area around 1,400 homes in the Panoramic and Grizzly Peak areas of Berkeley must get rid of anything combustible. Inspections begin in May. Disability, inclusivity, and women. Those are just three of the 200 words the Trump administration is telling Head Start programs to avoid using in their federal grant applications. Historically, Head Start has received support from Republicans and Democrats alike. This new guidance is part of the administration's larger plan to dismantle the program altogether. For more on what this means for under-supported children, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Mariah Belingit, reporter with the Associated Press, who covers early education. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So how exactly do these banned words affect the future of educational and social development for kids?
I should first say that a judge earlier this week actually issued a restraining order, a temporary restraining order, blocking the Trump administration from implementing this directive any further. But it is really significant when they start policing the language that can go in grant applications. Most Head Start programs rely almost entirely on federal funds, so they really cannot afford to lose the money. In grant applications, they describe pretty much all of their activities and everything they do. And so, for example, a woman in Washington State, a Head Start director there, had to cancel training for her staff to support children with autism and also children with trauma.
And exactly, you know, go a little further with that. What would be behind the thinking there from your reporting and your research? Why would the administration not want to be talking about these things?
You know, this is part of their broader effort to purge any diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI initiatives from the government. And if you've been following news like this, you know that the Trump administration has a pretty broad definition of what meets DEI. So they're not just getting rid of DEI officers and offices. They're also banning language that we wouldn't normally necessarily associate with DEI initiatives, like woman and race and disability. It's a little unclear as to why they have gone so far. We haven't gotten much comment from them, but it makes it really, really difficult. Head Start is was created specifically to help underprivileged children, and it has specific requirements that they aid children with disabilities, for example. So providers who were given this directive had to choose between abiding by the law and abiding by the Trump administration's directives.
And this Head Start really has received bipartisan support for years, decades. So does this surprise you?
This is something that I know that Head Start advocates have been concerned about since before the Trump administration. If you remember Project 2025, which was this policy blueprint written by a really influential conservative think tank, they actually called to get rid of Head Start altogether. And one of the authors of that plan is now Trump's budget chief. There was a draft budget that went out earlier this year that actually eliminated Head Start. There was a large outcry, and in the end, it was still funded. So this is not terribly surprising. Even the folks who want to keep it within the administration have made clear that they really want to change it. Apparently, eliminate any training that would help staff address cultural competency or language differences or even disability.
All right. Running a little short on time, you mentioned, Mariah, that earlier this week a judge blocked any further action on this. What do you think will happen next?
You know, it's very difficult. I've stopped trying to predict the future with this particular administration. But we'll definitely see, we'll be interested to see the outcome of this particular lawsuit. As you know, this is one of dozens, if not tens of over 100 lawsuits, probably at this point, filed by people against the Trump administration for actions like this in Head Start and in other programs.
Art galleries, museums, and organizations around the Bay Area are gearing up for San Francisco Art Week, which starts on the 17th. KCBS's Shannon Golden reports it's the third edition of the event, which helps industry aficionados and newbies to the art world explore the region's thriving art scene.
The walls of Frankel Gallery in downtown San Francisco are getting a fresh coat of paint ahead of a busy week.
We always look forward to the Art Week. It's a chance to see so many wonderful colleagues and friends and collectors in town.
Daphne Palmer, gallery president, says many of those folks are in town for the Fog Design and Art Fair at the Fort Mason Center for Arts and Culture.
We also see people who have never even been into a gallery who might live locally.
And they're all in store for a week full of special exhibits and events, extended hours, and family-friendly activities at almost 100 galleries and museums around the region. SF Art Week provides a guide for it all on its website with a map as well.
Having this resource really allows people to wayfind and make sure that they don't miss special things that are going on.
And SF Art Week director Emily Cunahan says this year they're partnering with Shop Dine SF to make it a culinary adventure too.
When you're planning your visit to a museum or a gallery, you can find a great place to eat or maybe to shop.
In San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
Major changes coming to the Kennedy Center in Washington as CBS's Michael Toscano reports.
The Marriage of Figaro, performed by the Washington National Opera Company last November at the Kennedy Center's Opera House, where they have been in residence since 1971, a vibrant part of Capitol life with an international reputation for excellence. But with the center now controlled by President Trump, the company says it will reduce its spring schedule and relocate. Trump's new business model requires productions to be fully funded in advance, which the company says is, quote, a requirement incompatible with opera operations. Michael Toscano, CBS News, Washington.
Barnes & Noble is set to take over UC Berkeley's course materials and campus stores. UC Berkeley announcing that Barnes & Noble College will manage operations at the Cal Student Store, the Anchor House, and the Cal Memorial Stadium Store starting January 20th. Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs says this collaboration will invigorate UC Berkeley's retail environment and increase access to key class materials. However, Berkeley students and community members have historically favored independent shops and criticized private corporations. There are currently more than 1,000 Barnes & Noble campus stores across the country. Financial terms of this agreement have yet to be disclosed.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.